Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn to Psalms 119. Thought about how important it was in my own life as I think about that story about the lower lights be burning and the neglect of one man or one time, what it cost and the lives that were lost. When you think about that and you think about this light and the very fact how important is the light. And we are the light bearers, the ones who know Christ as their Savior. We're the ones who have that light. So once you found your place in Psalm 105, I'll ask you to stand. Or Psalm 119, I'm sorry. Psalm 119, 105. I didn't tell you the verse. Go ahead and stand if you would. And we're going to read several verses here this morning. Psalm 119, 105. All right, I'll begin reading 105 through 112 this morning. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. And 105 again, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you again for the very life and the very breath that we have. We thank you that you have given us this light, that we can know it and understand it, Father, and that we also can take it and share it. Father, I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts. Father, that you would help the words that are shared this morning be the words that you want each one of us to hear. Father, that you would touch each one of our lives and help us to look to you and to trust you for the next moment, the next day, for the rest of our lives. We thank you now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Genesis chapter 1 through 5, and the first verse, it talks about the light. It talks about the fact that the earth was void and without form, and it talked about the darkness in the very beginning, and that's what it looked like. In fact, I'll share those verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. It was a dark time, but it was a time that God started working in the world that we live in today. In verse 3 it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light... saw the light, that it was good. I'll get here. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light the day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So here in the very beginning, there was just darkness. There was a void. And God took and made light. And all of a sudden, we see as you read the rest of this, that there is life. And always where there is light, there is life. And that's what light does. It dispels darkness. See, everything can be hid in the darkness, but it can't be hid in the light because it's open, it's there, and it's alive. That's how we know that our plants and the things that we eat and we see out here, the trees and all the vegetation, it grows because of that light. Now, there are other options or other things that help it, but the light is so important for it, that light. And this morning, we as Christians, we are commanded to be that light. We're commanded to walk in the light. And all of that is just a growth. As we learn the Lord Jesus Christ, when we put our faith and trust in Him, those things begin to happen. But all of this is to see that also today we live in a world that is filled with darkness. There's a lot of darkness in this world. This morning, I just want to share with you a message I've entitled, Light Your Lamps. Light your lamps. You know, in the Old Testament, darkness was used to depict man's moral depravity, as well as in the New Testament. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, Isaiah penned these words, says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." In other words, sin is called good. Decency and right were things they called wrong. Today we live in that society. We live in that world just as it was in the beginning. When we can see that these things that they call good today, homosexuality, transgender, abortion, all of those becoming the norms of the day, they call those the right. We live in a time, if you are called a Christian, you're going to be a racist. That's just the way it's going to be. You're going to be somebody who believes in hate speech because you believe the word of God. You're going to be somebody who's a blank phobe. You put the blank in there because that's what they're going to call you. Because we live in a time of darkness. It's a sad time, but it's also a time of opportunity. This is a time that we were born to live in. Everybody in this room. This is our life. This is our world. God knew it before we were born that we would be here. In Isaiah chapter 6, chapter 60, verse 2, it says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." You know, this is speaking of the time of the tribulation. It's speaking of the time of dark days on the earth. But Jesus Christ is going to come back. And it's going to be a time that it's going to change this world. Of course, this world eventually will pass away and no longer be here. And so the Old Testament speaks of that darkness. It speaks of that moral depravity. And it tells us prophetically that it's going to happen. It's going to continue to happen. And it's happening today. In the New Testament, we see darkness is used as a sign of sin and spiritual ignorance. The Bible tells us, go to Ephesians chapter 5 for a second, please, back there. Ephesians chapter 5. We read this morning, and we see here that we live in a time such as this. In 5 verse 8, he speaks about us. He speaks about the world. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." And that's true. Everyone in this room, especially the older folks who got saved at a later time in their life, can go back and reflect on a time when they were living apart from God, walking in darkness, didn't know the light, didn't understand the light. And it's a true statement here when it says, "Bruce, ye were sometimes darkness." That's a true statement. That's where I was. That's where all of us have been, some greater extent than others. But we're still living in those times. Jesus described darkness as evil. In John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, it says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." And so he says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." So how do we come to that light? We come to that light by looking into the Word of God, because the Word of God is light. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So that's how I know what darkness is. That's what I know, how I know what light is. And our fellowship is affected by darkness in the sense that darkness is sin. In 1 John 1, 5, it says, and 6, it says, This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So there is the crux of the matter for the world, for the Christian, is that we want to walk in the light. We want to know what the light is. We want to understand that. Paul warned Christians that Satan is the leader of darkness. He is. You know, many times we talk about how things are going in this world, and it can be just put down to one point, and that point is that the agenda is being run by the god of this world. That's what it is. Everything that's happening, that when you see the darkness, you know who's in control of that. That is the devil. And he's there, and he's always wanting to cause Christians problems. In fact, in Ephesians 6, 12, Paul reminded us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." It's the darkness of this world that we are fighting. And sometimes we lose track of that. Sometimes we lose focus of that. And the world wants us to. That's why there's so many causes out there that the world provides us to follow. Some of those causes seem like they're good things, but yet they're really a deception to mislead us and misguide us to fall into the trap of spending our time, our treasure, and everything we have on those things instead of walking in the light and following the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this is me personally, I don't give to any organizations, charitable organizations. I don't, except for missionaries. I put my money there because I think that's the most important place to put it. I think it's important that these men and women that are called to the gospel to go out and preach the word of God. I used to give it to the United Way, but I don't even know where all the money's going. At least if I give it to a missionary, I know that God's going to allow them to use that for whatever their needs are. And what is their purpose is to preach the word of God. How important is it? Darkness also stands for God's punishment. We know that. Remember the centurion in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 13. He came to Jesus and he told him that his servant was sick. And Jesus said, well, okay. He said, I'll go to your house. He said, you don't have to do that. I believe. I'm a man under authority and I believe that if you just say it, it'll happen. And we know at the end of that story in verse 13 of Matthew 8, that exactly is what happened. But in between that, in verses 11 and 12, Jesus remarked, he said, and I say unto you, speaking to this centurion, that many shall come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's talking about the Jewish folks, the ones who think they're good works, and because of being a Jew, they're going to be able to be with God. They're not. And he called that darkness is where they'd be cast into, outer darkness. You know, sometimes I wonder about that because when you study the Word of God, you find out there's a place called the Lake of Fire which burneth forever and ever. And then there's outer darkness. And I think, where are those places? It's the same place. I can't even imagine what that looks like because when we see fire, we think of light. But somehow this fire is not going to bring light. There's going to be darkness there, punishment. It's going to be a terrible time. But we know that we have the Word today, and the Word is so important to us. It is the light. I want you to turn to 2 Peter, if you would. Peter is sharing in this letter about the time that he and the others saw Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he describes that a little bit, but he makes a statement that's interesting here. 2 Peter chapter 1, and if you would just go to verse 13 is where we'll start. And this idea is he's there and he's writing this letter about it and he's going to speak to the Word of God here. He says, yea, I think it is meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Again, often the apostles and the writers of the Scripture, they talk about putting in remembrance, how important that is. And I find it more and more important for me as the older I get, the more I need to go back and look and be put in remembrance of the things of God. It's easy to think of these things and maybe even not get them right as much as you used to. The mind doesn't work as well. And so you go back and you see this is important. And that's what he says in verse 13. Verse 14 says, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle. So Peter is getting close or near to his death, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, and when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. In verse 19 he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. He's saying, the word of God is important. And it's a more sure word of prophecy, even than seeing Jesus being transfigured that day and hearing God say, this is my beloved Son. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And he goes on and says in verse 20, let's read the rest of that again. We have also a more sure word of prophecy unto ye that ye do well. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. And the day dawn is the actual coming back of Christ. And the day star rising in your heart is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Again, the idea here is that the word of God is important. It's not given by men, but it's given by the Spirit of God himself. And the Spirit of God is what directs us and guides us through the word of God and leads us to the things that we need to know. And he's the one that's helping us and giving us this understanding. In John chapter 1, if you would turn back over there, John chapter 1, Jesus, again, we find out who he is, find out exactly what his relationship is to God and how important that is. In John chapter 1, I'll let you find your place there. This very familiar passage, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we know that Jesus Christ himself, he is this light. He is God himself. And the idea of that is that we understand that it's through Jesus Christ that we can be saved. And it's only through Jesus Christ. You can believe in God, you can know about God, you can know about Jesus, but without understanding and receiving him, you cannot be saved. Jesus told his disciples and those that were around him in John chapter 12, verses 35 through 36, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. And that's what God has called us to be, is the children of light. We're the bearers of the light. We're the ones who are going to take the light. Ephesians 5:8 told us, but now ye are the light of the Lord. Before you were in darkness, but now ye are the light of the Lord. In other words, if we're walking like we walked before we were saved or professed salvation, something's amiss. Something's not right. Because there is a difference. There's a transformation that takes place. You no longer are seeking those things that are dark, but your mind is changing, your life is changing, you're looking to those things that are of the light, and you want to find those things. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. There's a difference. Just as night and day is different, we know that. Last night I was driving home, and it was dark out, and I thought, man, I was wondering if my headlights were even working correctly, and it was really dark out, and I thought, wow, this is different. I left, it was beautiful, sunshine. There's a difference between light and darkness, life and death. There's a difference. And light denotes, light denotes life. We saw that. But in John 8:12, Jesus said this. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That life he's talking about is everlasting life. Life that is transforming, that changes a person here on this earth for all eternity. It's the thing that helps us. It's the thing that shows us and reminds us who we are. We know that man is a sinner and he's doomed. But Jesus is the light, and he is the life that was the light of men. So light represents salvation. We know that. Paul, and he was talking to King Agrippa. He said in Acts 26:18 that he was saved for the purpose to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And that whole point is that Jesus Christ is the light. You come to that light, you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and there's something that happens. Light often speaks of the blessings that God gives to us. In Psalm 4:6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. In Psalm 27:1, the psalmist writes, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And isn't that true? I think the closer we get to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and trusting in what he has to do, the less we'll fear things. The less we'll be anxious about what's going on in the world, the more we'll understand and just walk with him. Light is a symbol of moral purity. In 1 John 1:5, we've already mentioned this. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So the Bible really tells us in Ephesians 5:8, it tells us also that we're not only light bearers, but we're to walk as children of light. We're to follow that light. We're to be in that light. Excuse me for a second. And when he tells us to walk as children of light, he is commanding us to do that. He's telling that's a command. As Christians, we are commanded to walk in the light, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to him and trust him. He goes on and he explains some of that, this command we're to do. We're to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Colossians 2:6, as ye have received therefore Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. How do you receive Jesus? By faith. So we walk by faith. We walk in this newness of life that we're given. Romans chapter 6, you could read the whole chapter, but verse 4 reminds us, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. And we're to walk with a purpose. What is our purpose here? What has God done in our lives, and what does he want us to do? What's his plan for us? Ephesians chapter 5, again, I'm in Ephesians, in verse 15, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And doing what? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We have a purpose here God has given to us. Ephesians 2:10 reminds us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What is a good work? Well, we know what the first good work is. It's believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus himself told us that. We want to walk to please the Lord. How do we please the Lord? How do we know how to please the Lord? Again, the Word of God teaches us. Colossians 1:10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of our God. And again, how important is the Word of God to do that? We're to walk after the Spirit. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what are we seeking when we're studying the Word of God? What are we seeking in this life? We want to follow God. We want to seek the Spirit of God so we can follow his steps that he has laid out for us. It's the Spirit that indwells in us that helps us to understand the things of God. We're to walk, and we're to walk in a direction. There's a direction that God gives to us. Paul penned these words in Philippians chapter 3. You can see his heart. He said, brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he goes down a few verses and says, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Again, there's a direction. There's a determination and there's a destination that God has given every one of us. When we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that seed was planted into our lives. And that seed was to
look to the Lord and trust Him, to learn what He has us to do. And it begins right here. It begins in the mind. Ephesians 4:23 reminds us, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And how do we do that? Again, by looking to the Lord and seeking His face. In Galatians chapter 5, we're reminded, but the fruit of the Spirit, and that Spirit is so important, is love and joy, peace, it says, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. It says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. It's the idea that as we, as Christians, as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and we're walking in the light, we have rejected darkness. We're not succumbed to the things of the world. We're not allowing ourselves to be drawn into that, because we are not looking for darkness, but we're looking for light. We're looking for what is right and what is bright and what the Lord has given to us instead of what the world keeps offering us. The world's going to offer you prosperity. Everybody in this room probably got a big check recently. Did you not? You know what that's for? That's to draw you in to be dependent on the government. It's so easy when we have all the things the government wants to give to us and the world wants to give to us to turn our way from the Lord. We can say, well, I'm walking with the Lord, but in reality we become dependent on the government. It's subtle. Satan, who is subtle, in the garden, he convinced Eve. And then, of course, Adam was deceived. And he's doing it today to the world and even to Christians. It's a living a new way. It's all about a new life. He says that this direction in verse 9, Ephesians, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Goodness, that is what is good and beneficial to the Lord. That's what goodness is. 2 Thessalonians, Paul writes in chapter 1, wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in Him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's walking in such a way that we're walking in what pleases God. And through that, we have the opportunity to glorify God. And it's all about God being glorified in our lives. That's the bottom line. As we look at this, is we want God's glory. Or we want to glorify God. And, of course, that glory will be reciprocated to us eventually. But in righteousness, what is upright in character and deed? What is important in this life? Turn to Romans chapter 6 for a second. Talking about righteous. This chapter really reeks of that, if you think of that. All that it says in there, talking about how to live this righteous life. Look at verse 13, if you would. We're just going down to verse 18. We could read the whole chapter. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. He just described our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and talked about that we're to live according to Him and to walk according to Him. But then he says in verse 13, he says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield your members unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. This is what took place in every Christian's life. When they're born again, this is the direction that we're going. We're going to the direction that we're not yielding ourselves to those things of the world, but we're yielding ourselves to the things of God. We're looking at what is important, like those lights that weren't burning that one night. It just takes one night and the right ship to be in the wrong place, and people die. It's the same for us. As we are the light in the place that we are, that we have the opportunity to help others see the Lord Jesus Christ, as we sang that first song, Send the Light, how important it is. We have it right here in this room. This room is full of light. Full of light. Wonder how much light is on the outside of this church, in this community. Think about it. We're the light. Are we shining as the light of the Lord? So he said, in goodness and righteousness and truth, and John 3:21 says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought of God. In other words, we come to that light, and the deeds that we do, we want them to be exposed. We want them to be open. We want those to can see that this is the Lord that we're serving. And there's a determination. What is this determination? It is to prove what is acceptable. We want to prove what is acceptable in our lives. We see that in verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 5. He tells us to prove what is acceptable. And so what is that? It's taking God at His word. It's trusting Him that whatever happens in our lives, whatever we go through and experience as we're walking with Him, is the right thing. And He knows all about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 reminds us, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And how do we do that? We read, we study, we meditate. We know what God's word says, so we can prove it. We can test it. We can try it. If it says something, will it happen? Will it come to fruition? Is it true? Just as when I put my faith and trust in Christ, when I trust in Him as my Savior, is that true in my life? Is that real? Did something really happen? Did it change me and move me from the direction I was in and give me a new direction? Did it give me a new mindset, a new understanding? In Romans 12:1-2, Paul reminds us. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so it's surrendering our lives to the Lord that He can use that. And we can prove Him. We can test Him. Is these things going to happen? If I give praise for the things that I feel like that are difficult in situations that I would say something else maybe, how's that glorify God? How's that work in my life? It does. It takes care of a lot of the things you think. See, God says He'll supply our needs. Do you believe that? Do you believe He really would supply our needs? He says He'll comfort us. Is He comforting you through your difficulties, your situations? Are you crying out to God and asking Him to help you to do that? He gives us strength through the trial. You know, you're guaranteed to go through a trial. Everybody here is. Everybody has. And we will again. And there are purposes for that. He promises to protect us. Are you relying on Him to protect you? Or is there something else? Can we trust Him? In verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, it talks about surrender and change. It talks about not being conformed to this world. That's the externals. That's what we see. The outward appearance, if you will. Not conforming to the things of the world, driving and striving for everything the world has to offer. But also, it talks about our inward thinking, having that renewed mind. And then our new desires. And our new desires are that we're going to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, it says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. As we are walking on this earth, He's given us an opportunity to strive to seek His face. And as we think about these things, as I have been thinking about these things, me personally, these are questions I'm asking myself. Do I really trust? Do I really believe? Do I really think He can comfort? Do I really think He can do these things? And am I experiencing them in my life as a real thing? Or is it just something we say? And we take care of things ourselves. Now, obviously, God gives us the opportunity and the strength to do a lot of things, but He always wants to hear from us. He always wants us to go to Him and seek His face. He always wants us to do that, regardless of what we can do ourselves. It's that walking in the light that requires the determination to seek God's unchanging standard. Psalm 119, the psalmist writes in verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. How important is that? To know what is right and what is wrong. In every aspect of our lives, it's to know what God says. Psalm 119:105, we said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We see the purpose there. We see how that lines up. That the word is a lamp unto my feet. When we think about that, as I've said this many times, is it really lights the surroundings we're in right now, where we're at. It's like taking that lamp and you're going into your house and you don't have lights. We've all experienced it when the lights have went out and we put a candle or something in. We go in there and we do that, or wherever we're at, it illuminates the area where we're at. We can see it. We can actually see it. And that's what the Word of God wants to do in our lives today. It wants to illuminate our lives right now where we're at in our Christian walk. How are we serving God? Are we glorifying Him? Are we doing the things that the Bible teaches us? Are we seeking His face? Are we asking for direction? Are we asking for a purpose and a determination to help others see Christ? Are we asking Him that He might guide and direct us to somebody today that we might share the Word of God as opportunity presents itself? Right where we're at, the light shines. But I'm glad it's not just where we're at. It also shines a light on the path. And that's the direction we're going. And so when you see that light and that lamp, you can see the area you're at, but you can also see the area that you're going. You can see some direction. It doesn't give you much. It doesn't give you the whole area or all the way to the end of the path, but it shows you enough that you can take a step. As the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, He gives you the light to take a step. One step after another step. Maybe it begins with prayer and dedicating yourself to a time of prayer, getting away from everybody else and just asking God to do something in your life. In my life, God, do something. That time when you get in the Word and you pray back the Word of God to the Lord and say, "This is what you promised to me. Lord, show me this. Do this in my life. Help me. I want my faith to be increased." It's amazing what the Word of God can do in a person's life. And we do this because we don't want to stumble. We don't want to trip up. We don't want to find ourselves seeking the world's devices, the world's gain, the world's lifestyle. And that's what He said in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at chapter 5 again, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. Paul writing these letters, he writes these letters and he encourages people and tells them and talks about the things that they should do or are doing, which is good, but also tells them about the things that they shouldn't do. He gives them a warning. He does this in almost every letter. And there's a reason for that, because that's how strong the world is. That's how strong the devil's tug is on people, because that's our nature. By nature, we are servants of Satan. Apart from that, with a new birth, we become servants of Christ, as children of Christ. So we always have to fight that. Even though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. Our battle's not in the flesh. He says in chapter 5, verse 11, says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness." He says, "But rather reprove them." He says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." And that's what we want, is that light that Christ can give to us. That we know what's right and what's wrong. And that we have this purpose that God's given to us. I'm so glad that God loves us and cares for us, even when we're sinners, even when we do wrong. Even as Christians, when I don't obey, He still loves me. And that's what the chastening hand of God is all about in my life. Is when it comes, I know that God loves me and He cares for me. He reminds me. How? Through the Word of God. Amazing. But He has a purpose. We're God's vessels for his purposes. And Peter wrote this in chapter 2. He said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light." It is a marvelous light. Jesus, when he was speaking on the mount, and he was speaking the Sermon on the Mount, he shared in chapter 5, in verse 14, we all know these verses, in 16 he says, "Ye are the light of the world." Sometimes I sit down and I think about that. If I'm the light of the world, I wonder how dark it is. He says, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine." What's so important about your light shining? He tells us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works," and do what? "Glorify your Father which is in heaven." That is it, isn't it? That's the crux of the matter, as they say. It's where the rubber meets the road. Is that as Christians, as we're surrendered to God and we're serving God and we're looking to the Word of God and we're finding out the things God wants us to do in this lifetime, that we make much of Him, that He gets glorified. That He gets glorified. You know, there's glorification to God when someone says something negative to you because of the cause of Christ. God will get glory through that. He will. But the destination we have, what is that destination? It's to be with Christ. Now, we're with Christ here today, but we're still having the battle of the flesh. We still got the world out there, that devil who controls it all. But one day, we're going to be with Him face to face. And there'll be light there. No darkness at all. That means there'll be no wicked thoughts, no evil thinking. There'll be nobody better than anybody else. We'll all be there with Jesus. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 23 through 24, it says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." I think about that. That's a place I won't have to think about anything. I don't have to be mindful of those things that today we have to look out and try to make judgments over. I won't have to do that. There'll be no making decisions what's right and wrong. Because it's all going to be right. It's all going to be righteous. But today we still have to do that. This morning we still have to do that. And so we have to ask ourselves, is our lamp lit? Are we stumbling around in the darkness? Getting through this life, day by day by day. We need to ask ourselves, are we walking in that light? Are we presenting ourselves in a way that people know that there's a difference? It's easy to live under the radar as a Christian. Done it many times, many places. But I'm asking myself, is that what God has called me to do? I think personally, the reason there's so much darkness in the world today is because the light has been hid. I believe Christianity has taken a basket and put it over itself in a lot of ways. At least in my life, I know that's true. And through that, I know that there's a lot of opportunities that have been missed. What is my life? But it's a vapor. What is the purpose of my life? It's to be that light. And if I'm not that light, what kind of a life am I living? What purpose do I have in this life? We need to ask each one of ourselves, is the Word of God illuminating my path? Is it a light unto my path? Is it a lamp unto my, or a light unto my,
others. I can't even think again. But
thank you. A lamp under my feet and a light. I tell you, the mind just is slipping here. But that's the thing we need to think about. Is it true in our lives, in our surroundings right now as we look at this? Are we what God wants us to be? And only you can answer that. Only you know how God speaks to you. The Spirit is the one who convicts. The Spirit is the one who challenges. I can't do that. You have to do that by asking God and seeking His face. And know that what He tells you, whatever it is, right or wrong, to act upon it. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you know you're walking. Amen. If you're not, Lord, forgive me. That's how it works. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the word. We thank you for the fact that you love us and care for us. And we do thank you that the word of God is a light unto our feet and is a light to our feet and a lamp unto our path. And Father, I pray this morning you go before us. Let the Spirit speak. And if anybody here realizes in their life that maybe there is something, maybe they need to come forward. There's nothing wrong with coming forward in a service and just getting down and asking them, you to forgive them. Father, I pray you just go before us now. Bless. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.